John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. As we come to the Lord's Word this evening, let's ask for His help now that God will still our hearts and still our minds and that they would be receptive to truth and the Lord Himself will come by and speak to our hearts and we will know His grace this evening through His Word. Our Father in heaven, we come to Thee now. We're asking, O God, Thou would speak to us. We've been reading, Lord, in Your Word this evening of how the sheep hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And Lord, we're looking to hear Thy voice this evening. Lord, we want Thee to speak to us. Lord, we would have to confess that as sheep we are prone to wander and leave the God we love. But Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst help us to hear Your voice this evening and to follow Thee and to walk in the way in which You'd have us to go. Speak to us this evening. Give us help to preach Your Word. Lord, come with power amongst us, we pray. We'll ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen. And amen. This evening as we come to God's Word, we come to look at one of the greatest titles given to Christ in the Scriptures. This title is recorded twice here in John chapter 10, the passage we read together. We have it in verse 11 and also in verse 14. Christ says, I am the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. In our Gospel evening services, we have been looking at the seven I am sayings of the Saviour, which are found in John's Gospel. And the general truth of these seven sayings or titles, as I've mentioned before, because here we are presented in seven different ways, a perfect Saviour, one who provides a complete and finished salvation for His people. And that is the general truth. That is the general message of the seven I am sayings. Here we have a perfect Saviour providing for us a complete and a full salvation. Seven is the number of perfection and completeness. And so these seven titles of the Saviour reveal to us He is the sinner's perfect Saviour, provides a complete and finished salvation. This is what we must keep in mind as we consider the I am sayings which are found in John's Gospel. But this evening, as we come to this title found in John 10 verses 11 and 14, where Christ says, I am the Good Shepherd, this title is slightly different from the other six titles. It has a slight difference, and there is a slight difference about it. You see, this is the only title which speaks of an occupation, or it speaks of a work. Christ here calls Himself a shepherd. He calls Himself the Good Shepherd. And that is a job title. That is describing a work that someone does. Describes an occupation. A shepherd is a job that someone undertakes to do, that looks after sheep. And the other I am sayings, Christ calls Himself bread. He calls Himself light. A door. The resurrection and life. The way. And the vine. This was Christ likening Himself onto certain things. And of course, all of those things have a spiritual meaning, have a spiritual relevance. But as we think of the title before us this evening, Christ is not likening Himself onto certain things, but He's likening Himself onto someone who does a certain work, who undertakes a certain job. He describes Himself as a shepherd, as the Good Shepherd. And so this title is slightly different than the other titles. And it brings before us the actual work which Christ, as our perfect Saviour, carries out for us. And that is what is so important about this title. That is why it is so significant. That is why it is one of the greatest titles of Christ in the Scriptures. For it brings before us Christ's work as our Saviour. The work He undertakes to do to save His people from their sins. It is an interesting point to note that the Good Shepherd title is in the middle title, is the middle title of the seven I am sayings, or the seven I am names. There are three before it, and there are three after it. And so the middle I am title, or the middle I am name of Christ, sets forth the work of Christ, sets forth His work for us. I believe this clearly shows us that salvation for man centers upon the work of Christ, our perfect Saviour. Man's salvation, man's redemption, centers upon the work that Christ has undertaken for us. At the very heart of the Gospel is the work of the Good Shepherd. Man and man-made religion is focused upon the work which man can do. And that is the whole emphasis upon man-made religion. It is what man can do, how man can earn favour with God, the things that man can do to please God and gain entrance into heaven. But God's perfect salvation centres upon the work of our perfect Saviour, our perfect Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, who has done all that is necessary for our full redemption. And so here we're looking at the very heart of the gospel. We're looking at the very center of the gospel. The work of Christ for us. And approaching the subject of Christ, the Good Shepherd, what we must keep before us is the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. That's so important here as we read this chapter. Reading John's Gospel chapter 10, it is so, so important to keep before you the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. The happiness and the welfare of the sheep is bound up in the shepherd. If a cruel and negligent shepherd is watching the sheep, then the sheep will be unhappy and they will suffer. If we think of, in the physical sense, if there is a cruel shepherd, a shepherd who doesn't care for his sheep, because of that cruel relationship, the sheep will not prosper. They will be injured. They will be sickly. They will not progress. They will not do well. And it's because of the relationship to that negligent, that cruel shepherd. And in the spiritual sense, this is brought before us here in this passage. See what it says in verses 12 and 13. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. The hireling here is someone who is hired to look after the sheep. Someone that is hired labour. This is a person who is being bought in by the shepherd to look after the sheep. His relationship to the sheep, therefore, is purely motivated by financial gain. He does not care for the sheep. He has no concern for their welfare. He has got one priority. That is to be paid. That is to have his wages at the end of the day's work. Therefore, when a wolf comes, he's not going to risk being injured or hurt over the head of the sheep. Instead, he flees, for he careth not for the sheep. The sheep under the watch of the hireling, hired labour, with someone that has no relationship with the sheep, someone that has no personal connection to them, someone that has no love for them, the sheep under his care are going to be in an unhappy state. They will suffer injury and hurt. But the sheep that are cared for by the good shepherd, their state is one of happiness and peace. The good shepherd is good, meaning his work is a good work. And all that he does for the sheep is good. It is for their good. It is for their happiness. He does not in any way injure or hurt the sheep. The opposite is the case. He cares, sacrificially cares for the sheep. For he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd who cares for his own sheep. And so how important it is that we understand the care for the good shepherd. The relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is all important. We are to be protected by him, provided for by him. If we are to enjoy the peace that he can give, then we must be his sheep. We must be his sheep. It is so, so important to recognize that all the benefits and all the blessings that the sheep in this passage enjoy is because of the relationship to the good shepherd. They're cared for by him. They're looked after by him. And thinking then of Christ as the good shepherd, I want us to consider what he does for his sheep. What is the work that he does for his sheep? Remember, this is a title that speaks to us about a work, about an occupation. What then does Christ do for his sheep? What is the work that the good shepherd undertakes to do for his sheep? And there's four things that we have here in this passage which the good shepherd does for his sheep. Notice firstly here, Christ the good shepherd, he seeks his sheep. He seeks his sheep. See what it says in verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The Savior speaks here of sheep which are not in his fold. They are still outside his tender, loving care. They are not under his protection. They are not under his security, under his hand. They are out in the wilderness of this world, surrounded by danger. Here is sheep outside the fold. But see what the good shepherd does. He goes out seeking them. And Christ says, they shall hear my voice. And the picture really that is set before us here as Christ is going out seeking his sheep is of a shepherd And the shepherd has brought in his sheep into the fold. And as he counts his sheep as they enter into the fold, there's ones that are missing. Ones that are his sheep, and yet they're missing. And so as he secures the rest of the sheep in the fold, he goes out into the darkness of the night. He goes out into the mountains. He goes out into the wilderness. And he calls to his sheep. He seeks them, that they might come unto him. He seeks through the darkness of the night, crying out with his voice, so that his sheep will hear his voice and come to him. In Israel, such a scene would have been a common thing. As there was sheep and they were brought in at night. If there were sheep missing, it would have been a common sight to see a shepherd going out in the darkness of the night. And perhaps if you were a traveller, you could have heard the shepherd calling the sheep, looking for that lost sheep. It was a common sight. The Lord Jesus in the Gospels spoke in two parables, likening the sinner to a lost sheep. A lost sheep that has been sought after by the shepherd. In Luke 15 and in Matthew 18, we have these parables. And in Luke's Gospel, this is what Christ said to the people as he spoke to the people. He said this, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." You see what the Lord was saying to the people? He was saying, just as you seek for a lost sheep. And he said, what man of you? In other words, you know what it's like to have a lost sheep. You know what it's like to bring your sheep and put them in a secure place and find that there's one missing. And what man of you that has that lost sheep doesn't go after it and seek it until he finds it? And he's saying, so it is with the good shepherd. I am seeking the lost sinner. And there is great joy in heaven when that lost sinner is brought into my fold. Christ, the good shepherd, seeks for his sheep. He is a seeking shepherd, seeking for his lost ones, seeking for his lost sheep. Christ, the good shepherd, seeks for his sheep very personally, we can say here. He seeks for them personally. See in this chapter how, on a number of occasions, it refers to the sheep hearing the shepherd's voice. And it's repeated time and time again. Verse 4 tells us, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Verse 16 tells us, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice." Notice how there's this reference to the sheep hearing the shepherd's voice. They hear his voice. And what is this telling us? It is telling us that Christ personally seeks for his sheep. He doesn't send a hireling, but he himself comes personally and he seeks out his sheep. And you see, as the gospel is sounded forth, as it is preached, it is Christ's voice that is heard. It is Christ's voice to his sheep. As God's word is presented, as God's word is preached, it is not the voice of a preacher. It is not his thoughts. It is not his ideas. But it's the gospel call of the good shepherd. And tonight the good shepherd is calling sheep personally. He is here tonight, present in this house, speaking through his word, calling his sheep that might come unto him and to be saved. You see, as the gospel is sounded forth, it is a very serious thing to turn and to despise the gospel. It is a very serious thing to reject the gospel, because it is the call of the good shepherd. It is his voice that you're despising. It is his words that you're ignoring. It is him that you're rejecting. Christ personally seeks for his sheep. Notice also here in this passage, Christ seeks for his sheep not only personally, but persistently. He seeks persistently. Of course, this is a characteristic of a good shepherd. They will persistently seek for the sheep. They will go after the sheep. They will hound the sheep down, as it were. They will chase the sheep until they find the lost sheep. That's what the good shepherd does. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd, and how persistent he is in seeking lost sheep. He seeks persistently. In 2 Chronicles 36 and 15, we read of how God persistently sought after sinful and rebellious Israel. It says, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people." God rising up betimes and sending. No, it's rising up many times, persistently and continuously, rising up. And you see, this is what the good shepherd does. He seeks his sheep persistently. He goes after them. He desires them to be saved, to be rescued. In the New Testament, we see how Christ persistently sought after the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida. In Matthew 11:21, it tells us what he said. "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." This reveals to us the great persistence of Christ in seeking these people. He says, he had so sought after the people of Tyre and Sidon. If he had sought after the people in those wicked cities, they would have repented. They would have heard the shepherd and turned from their wicked ways. And really it was emphasizing how Christ persistently sought after the cities of Gerizim and Bethsaida. But let us consider our own lives this evening. How persistent has the good shepherd been in seeking you? How persistent? How often have you ignored his voice? How often have you fled from his presence out into the darkness of your sin? You've sat in gospel meeting after gospel meeting. And Christ has sought you out. And perhaps as he sought you out, your soul was troubled and your conscience was pricked. And you were disturbed in your sin. And Christ was seeking you. Christ was calling unto you. But you fled out into the darkness of the night still in your sin. And yet here is Christ tonight still seeking you. The good shepherd is still seeking you again in the gospel. His voice is that which you hear tonight. Saying, "Come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest. Come and I will save." The persistence of the good shepherd seeking his sheep reveals to us the loving heart of Christ. And he loves his sheep. And he loves the sinner. And so he comes personally. And he comes persistently. And he seeks. And he's here tonight in love and mercy, seeking your soul. It is the greatest act of folly to turn and reject the one who is the good shepherd. And who desires only good for your soul. And so we see here the work of the good shepherd. Christ the good shepherd seeks for his sheep. Notice secondly here, Christ the good shepherd suffers for his sheep. He suffers for his sheep. See what it says in verses 11 and 15. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Verse 15 tells us, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The Lord Jesus, as the good shepherd, gave his life. He laid down his life for the sheep. And this, of course, is speaking of the death by which Christ would die. He was and is the good shepherd, the one without sin, the holy and righteous one. And yet it was his life that was given. It was his life that was laid down. It was he who suffered for the sheep. Even though he was and is the good shepherd, meaning there was no sin, he was the good, righteous and holy and pure one, yet it was he who suffered for the sheep. We see here in this passage that the suffering for the good shepherd, the sufferings of the good shepherd were that which he entered into willingly. He willingly suffered for the sheep. See what he says in verses 17 and 18. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." As the Lord Jesus was put to death, yes, he was betrayed by Judas. He was condemned by the Jews. And crucified by the hands of the Roman soldiers. But in all of these things, Christ was willingly giving himself. He was willingly laying down his life for his sheep. At any moment, He could have destroyed his enemies and delivered himself out of their cruel hands. He could have broke out of their charge. He could have dismissed them. He told his disciples that. He reminded them of that in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was being arrested. Don't resist. Think you not that I could call legions of angels? And so he could have delivered himself. He could have freed himself from these cruel and wicked men. But he did not. Instead, he willingly laid down his life for his sheep. He gave his life for them. Again, such willing suffering points to the love which fills the heart of the good shepherd. It reminds us of his love. He loves his sheep. And so he lays down his life. He gives himself for his sheep. He is moved in love for their welfare and for their salvation. And thinking of the good shepherd suffering for the sheep, notice here the reason. For the good shepherd suffering. The reason. See again what it says in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Then see what it says in verse 12. But he that is an hireling, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Verse 12 commences with the conjunction, but. Note that word at the very commencement of verse 12. But. That is to show that there's a contrast here. The Holy Spirit has shown us a contrast. In verse 11 it tells us what Christ does for the sheep. He gives his life for them. And that's what he does. Then we have the contrast in verse 12. But. The hireling. He does not give his life for the sheep. Instead, he flees from the wolf. The wolf which is coming to harm the sheep. He flees from the sheep. And he flees from the wolf because he doesn't care for the sheep. He only cares for himself. The point is this. Christ is the contrast to this. Christ is the contrast. And that is what verses 11 and 12 are showing us. Showing us this contrast. He does not flee from the face of danger. Christ, as the sheep are in danger, he doesn't flee away like a hireling. He isn't up and off at the sign of danger. He cares for the sheep because he loves the sheep. The danger, of course, that the lost soul is in is not the danger of the wolf. That is not what is threatening the souls of men and women, the lost sheep. But the danger therein is the danger of the lion of God's holy justice. That is the danger that men are in their sin. The fierce lion of God's justice was coming to devour the lost sinner in his sin. And that is what our danger was. That the justice of God was coming. We had broken God's law. We had transgressed his commandments. And God's law says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that includes eternal death and hell forever. Therefore, we were in danger of eternal ruin. And there we are, a sheep in the wilderness, in danger of this terrible enemy that was coming to devour us. But Christ, as the good shepherd, what did he do? He defended his sheep. And he met that lion, and he gave himself willingly to his teeth, the lion of God's justice. Christ placed himself into its mouth. And let the lion of God's justice devour him. He suffered death in the place of his sheep. This is the reason for the good shepherd suffering. He suffered to deal with the danger. The hireling wouldn't face the danger for the sheep. But Christ the good shepherd, that's exactly what he has done. Do you understand this tonight? Christ suffering for the sheep. He suffered because you were in danger. You were in danger. Let me say this. The lion of God's justice will find its prey. That's something we must recognize. The lion of God's justice will always find its prey. And will find its prey in one of two places. Either in the lost sheep, out in the wilderness of sin. Or in the loving Savior and his sacrifice. God's justice, either way, will have its satisfaction. It will have its prey. It will have, we could say, its meat. And that will either be in the flesh of Christ, the Good Shepherd, or in the souls of lost sheep in hell forever. But God's justice will have its prey. It will be satisfied. The reason why the Good Shepherd has suffered is to save sinners who deserve justice, who deserve to be devoured by the lion of God's justice. He has suffered so that we will escape that. But you, as we have said in the beginning, must be in the right relationship to the Good Shepherd. If he is to be the one who saves you from God's justice and condemnation. Oh, this is the reason for Christ's suffering. Deliver us from danger. What about the reward for the Good Shepherd's suffering? As Christ speaks of his suffering, notice how each time he uses the phrase for the sheep. For the sheep. And that's very important to notice here. Verse 11, he giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. What this reveals to us is Christ suffered specifically for his sheep. For all those who would come to him and own him as their shepherd and saviour. See, Christ's suffering was not just a general suffering where he died and hoped that some lost sheep would come to him. There's people that preach that sort of gospel where Christ died upon the cross and therefore he now hopes that people will come to him, that people will be saved and that people, lost sheep, will be rescued. That's not the gospel of the Bible. No, as Christ suffered, he suffered for the sheep. He suffered for his sheep. That is, he suffered for their sins. He suffered personally for each one of our sin. If you're a sheep in Christ's fold tonight, if you know him as your shepherd, then it was for your sin. Every sin you've ever thought, every sin that you've committed and will commit, Christ has suffered for it. Because he suffered for the sheep. That is his sheep. The hymn writer Horatio Spafford summed this glorious truth up so well in the words of his famous hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. This is what he says, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, it's nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's what the Good Shepherd has done. He's taken the sin of his sheep. And he's taken those sins, and he's taken the punishment for those sins, and he's nailed them to his cross. He's taken the full punishment. Therefore we bear the consequences no more. The reward of Christ's suffering, the reward of the suffering of the Good Shepherd is, we are completely forgiven. The work is complete and perfect. And remember, this is what we're thinking about, Christ's work for us. It's a full, a complete, a finished work. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Child of God, because of the suffering of the Good Shepherd, our sins, which are many, are dealt with. And we can rest with confidence in the suffering of the one who gave his life for the sheep. We can rest in full confidence in that tonight. Oh yes, the devil will rise up and our own hearts might rise up and condemn us and bring the sins of our past before us. He even brings the sins of our youth before us. But we can remind Satan and remind our own hearts that Christ suffered for the sheep. A full, complete and finished work. And they are now his. And enjoy a full salvation in him. Christ the Good Shepherd seeks his sheep. Christ the Good Shepherd suffers for his sheep. Notice also here, Christ the Good Shepherd saves his sheep. He saves them. Verse 14 tells us, I am the Good Shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Lord Jesus says, he knows his sheep and they know him. He is speaking of how there is a close and intimate relationship between Christ and his sheep. And that's what he's speaking about here. There's this close relationship. And again, we're coming back to this truth. So important to notice here, the relationship between Christ and his sheep. Christ knows his sheep by name. He knows them personally. And the sheep in Christ's fold know him in a close and personal way. But what we ought to particularly note here in the Saviour's words is those who Christ knows and those who know Christ are those who Christ saves. That's so important to notice here. Those who Christ knows and those who know Christ are those and those alone who Christ saves. See what it says in verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Christ gives eternal life to every sheep that knows him. That's who he gives eternal life to. To every poor lost sheep that hears his voice and follows him. He opens the door of his fold and he brings them in and they come to know him as their shepherd and he knows them as his sheep. Revelation 3 and 20 puts it like this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. There's the seeking of the good shepherd. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. And I will sup with him and he with me. Supping with Christ. Speaking of how we come to know him. Know him personally. Know him intimately. Speaking about fellowship. Christ the good shepherd, he saves his sheep. And that salvation leads to the shepherd and the sheep personally. And closely knowing one another. An intimate knowledge of each other. You see, to know Christ personally and intimately is to know what it is to be saved. That's really what it's telling us here. For Christ to know you, and for you to know Christ, is for you to know what it is to be saved. Not speaking about knowing Christ merely in the sense of information. Knowing some truth of Scripture. Having a grasp of biblical knowledge. Knowing the historical facts of the Scripture. Not speaking about that kind of knowledge. There are many, and they have very much acquainted themselves with these things. They have a biblical knowledge. They have a head knowledge of Scripture, but they don't know Christ as the Good Shepherd. They're not in this relationship. Therefore, they're not saved. They're not saved. They don't know the Good Shepherd as their Shepherd. And so they've never been given eternal life. Really, the all-important question is, how do you know Christ? How do you know him tonight? How does Christ know you? Does he know you as his sheep? Do you know him as your shepherd? The sheep who know Christ, the sheep that are in his fold, that are truly saved, they know Christ personally. And this personal knowledge of Christ will be evidenced in their lives. It will be seen. In this passage, we see that the sheep who know Christ, those that are saved and in his fold, do three things. There's three things that are very much evident in their lives. The sheep in Christ's fold, they fellowship with the shepherd. There's fellowship. We see this in verse 3. It tells us there, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And the sheep in Christ's fold, they hear his voice. He calls them by name. Speaking about fellowship here. They have an ear for the voice of the good shepherd. An ear for him. An ear for his word. And this is very much a characteristic of a sheep that knows Christ as their good shepherd. They will desire to hear his voice. They will have an appetite for it, we could say. An appetite for the word. They want to fellowship with Christ. They will want him to call them by name. They will want to know him in this intimate way. Oh, the sheep that belong to Christ, the sheep that know him, they will fellowship with the shepherd. They will not only fellowship with the shepherd, but the sheep in Christ's fold, they have faith in the shepherd. They have faith. Verse 26 tells us, and Christ is speaking to the ungodly here, but ye believe not. And why do they believe not? Because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Notice these people were filled with unbelief because they were not Christ's sheep. They didn't believe. And what were they doing? They were questioning who Christ was. And that's what they were doing here in this passage. Who is Christ? And if we were to read back into the passage, we'll not do so for sake of time. But there were some saying he's a devil. And they were not believing in him. Why? Because they were not his sheep. It therefore follows, Christ's sheep do believe. Faith in the shepherd is something which is seen in their lives. They have faith in Christ. Faith in him. Faith in him to save them. Faith in Him to provide their needs. Faith in the Good Shepherd to give them an eternity which is secure. The characteristic of the sheep that knows the Shepherd is they have faith in the Shepherd. Faith in Him in life and in death and for eternity. And the sheep that know Christ, they not only fellowship with the Shepherd and have faith in the Shepherd, they follow the Shepherd. They follow the Shepherd. Verse 27 tells us, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." They follow Me. Following the Good Shepherd is to walk in His ways. That's what it means, to walk in His ways. Sheep in eastern countries do follow the Shepherd. Of course, today in our land, shepherds drive their sheep, and they chase them. They herd them. But not in eastern countries. The Shepherd will go before the sheep. The Shepherd will lead the sheep. And the sheep will follow the Shepherd. So therefore the path that the Shepherd walks in is the path the sheep will walk in. And this is what Christ is saying here. "My sheep, they hear My voice. And they walk in the path that I walk in." The Good Shepherd, He walks in the path of righteousness and true holiness. And that's what Christ's sheep will do. They will be a holy, sanctified, God-fearing people. They will follow Christ. As you think of these characteristics of Christ's sheep, let me ask you this tonight. Does it resemble your life? Do you desire fellowship with Christ? Do you have faith in Christ, full faith, knowing that you're secure in Him? Do you follow Christ? This is what His sheep do. Those that He saves. And so we see Christ, the Good Shepherd. He saves His sheep. He suffers for His sheep. He seeks His sheep. Finally, notice with me here, Christ, the Good Shepherd, satisfies His sheep. He satisfies them. The psalmist who himself had been a shepherd and knew not only how to care for the sheep, but also he knew the pleasant and content state of sheep when they were satisfied, said of the Good Shepherd, said of Christ, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." The lost sheep, when it becomes aware of its lost state, is a greatly troubled creature. A greatly frightened creature. Of course, the lost sheep may not realize the lost state it is in for some time. It might be happy grazing away. It might be happy wandering away. But once the lost sheep realizes the danger, perhaps the danger of a wild animal, a wolf or a lion or a bear, or a dog, then the lost sheep realizes its lost condition. It's away from the shepherd and it's frightened. It's terrorized. It's worried. Once it understands that, the only thing that will satisfy that lost sheep is being again near the care and under the care of the Good Shepherd. That is just like the sinner. Many are unconcerned today, for they don't realize the peril they are in. They don't realize their lost state. They don't realize that in their sin, there is the great danger of God's justice coming towards them. They don't realize that in a moment of time they could be ushered out of this world into lost eternity and be in outer darkness forever where there's weeping of gnashing of teeth. How many of the ungodly, how many of the unsaved do not realize their danger? And so, as it were, they're grazing away in life. So if everything is well. How about once that lost soul realizes the some comprehension of their eternal danger, their fearful position, the only thing that will satisfy that soul is the Good Shepherd. Once a poor, lost, undone sinner comes to realize the terrible lost state that they are in, then they will never find peace or satisfaction until they find the Good Shepherd, the one who gave Himself for the sheep. And the one who cares for them. Christ is the one who satisfies His sheep. The Good Shepherd who satisfies the sheep. Oh dear sinner, tonight in this meeting, do you hear His voice? Do you hear His voice calling to you? And He is calling to you tonight in the gospel. He's calling that you might come under His care, under His protection. He's seeking you that you might be His sheep, and that He might be the good shepherd towards you and bring salvation and peace to your life. The good shepherd's heart is filled with love for the lost sheep, the lost sinner. Do not despise this love. Do not turn from it this evening. But come to Christ. Come to the good shepherd. And place your faith and trust in the one who's worked and earned and merited your salvation. I trust you will come. May God even give you grace to do so for His own name's sake. Amen. Amen.